Join me in Luke chapter 12. Join me in Luke chapter 12, verse 49 through the end of the chapter. Hear the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of the living God. This is Jesus speaking, of course. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. I do pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of his most holy word. The great day of judgment of the Lord is coming. It's a day when all will stand before the Lord and give an account of their lives, our lives. However, for the believer, this great day of judgment, this great day of the Lord, for the believer, is not a day that we should fear, that the believer should fear. The coming of Christ will be a time of celebration for the saints. When the graves are opened and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and the living saints shall be called up together with them, and to meet the Lord in the air, then the bride will meet her bridegroom and spend eternity in the presence of the Lord. As I said, believers are not to fear that day of judgment. For every Christian, this judgment has already passed. When Jesus comes again, he will have visible in his body the marks of the crucifixion, the marks of judgment. And this will prove that the penalty for sin has been paid for in full for the believer. Our Lord reassures us of this by his own words. We find in John chapter 5, Jesus saying, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into the judgment, but has passed from death into life. The Apostle Paul adds this at that beautiful chapter, recorded in that beautiful chapter of Romans 8. The first sentence of Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because on that day the Lord Jesus took the cross, we were all pronounced guilty. We are guilty. And judgment has come. Except for the believer, it came upon Jesus Christ. The believer is not to fear that day of judgment. The day of judgment is coming, and all men, women, children, fallen angels will be judged. The Bible teaches very, very clearly that all mankind, living, those who have passed, those who are yet born, must give an account on that great day to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, Paul from Romans chapter 14, this time we read, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself, herself, to God. The Apostle Peter, in a great sermon found in Acts chapter 10, adds this, and he commanded us, Jesus, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. Everyone who has walked on this earth will walk on this earth, will one day stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of their lives. And as I said, for the believer, yes, our sinfulness will be brought to bear, but it will be a day of understanding more fully, more completely, the beautiful love, grace, and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment Day is coming. In our reading today in verse 49, Jesus states this, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. Very strong words. Very strong words. Now this fire he speaks of is the fire of judgment. The quenching, burning fire of judgment upon those who do not believe. And while this judgment will be rendered, metered out, if you will, at his second coming, this judgment actually took place on the cross, as I've mentioned. Humanity was condemned. After the sin of Adam and Eve, we were born into this world, coming from our mother's womb, sinners, born into sin from a sinner. Humanity was condemned. However, it was on the cross that Jesus paid the price of sin for those who would believe in him. Yes, judgment has come for the believer, except it came upon Jesus Christ on that cross. However, it also sealed the fate of those who do not believe. There is no other action that will take place in man's history, man's future. There is no other action that will take place that will cover the sins of the non-believer. The act is already accomplished for those who would believe. And so that cross not only saved those who would believe, but it also further condemned. It showed that condemnation to those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Just as the fate of the believer was sealed by the actions of Jesus on the cross, so it was for the non-believer. Now, let me also add, there are those who at present time have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. And I'll get to that in a second. But in time could come because Jesus died for those who would believe. Our Lord continues. He says, I came to cast fire on earth, and would that it were already kindled. And he continues by praying, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Now, we need to walk through this slowly because Jesus is looking at the cross. He says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. Now, again, this word baptism is not relating to water baptism in this context. The word baptism here means total consumption, totally consumed into something, into an act. The children of Israel were baptized into Moses as they crossed the Red Sea. They didn't get wet, and that was the whole point. But that salvation, that saving effect of Moses carrying them to freedom, they were totally consumed into it and saw the freedom. Here Jesus says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. He points to the consuming work of the cross. Jesus gave himself completely on the cross, and his actions seals the outcome of the believer and the non-believer alike. And he prays that that time of the cross would come. He understands it's coming. He knows the distress he will endure on that cross. He knows its outcome for the believer and the non-believer alike, and he's ready for its fulfillment. He said, were that it was already here, that fire of baptism, that fire of judgment was already here. He's ready to go to the cross. Salvation and judgment are both found in the cross of Jesus. As we spoke of 2 weeks ago, Jesus' second coming will be like that thief in the night. So one must be prepared, as the first portion of chapter 12 gave us. So one must be prepared, and there is time. While we do not know of his second coming or the timing of his second coming, his delay gives us time. Gives us time to prepare for that coming. And so we must, if we have not made things right with our Savior, make them right before it's too late. And Jesus says as much. Go with me to the end of our reading today, verse 58. Verse 58 of chapter 12. He says, as you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. As Jesus does often, here he is using an illustration of common everyday life. An illustration of one who is being accused of a crime or of an unpaid debt. We're not quite sure what it is, but he stands accused of some misdeed. And Jesus says, settle with him, that accuser, settle with him before he gets you to the magistrate, before he takes you to the judge, and in your guilt be thrown in prison. Now, translating this to a spiritual sense, the sinner is the one accused and is guilty. However, as this passage points out, there is time to be reconciled with our accuser before we are taken into prison. There's a way out. Jesus is saying, make things right with God. Before this coming day of judgment, come to him, confess your sin, confess your guilt, repent so that you will not be thrown in prison or, in the spiritual sense, in reality sense, thrown into hell. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you. That word implore, beg, plead. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Meaning, make things right before it's too late. Paul is imploring, he's begging, he's pleading with them, be reconciled before God before it's too late. Are we truly reconciled, made right before God? Oh yeah, Pastor Tim, I'm in church. Here I am. Me and Jesus are right. We spoke of this 2 weeks ago, that up to 40% of the people sitting in church today are not believers. 40% of people who are here today would probably be these first four pews right here. Now, I'm not pointing to any of you particularly, just by number. So don't be misled. Just because you come to church, just because you come to Sunday school, does that mean you have salvation? I pray it does. But walking through that door, salvation is not a prerequisite. Only two beings know the truth of whether you are reconciled or not. That is you and God. Be reconciled. There are those who are reconciled. There are those who are believers and some who are not. And this is going to cause division among families, friends, and neighbors. Verse 51, if you'd join me there. Again, some challenging statements made by the Lord Jesus. Verse 51 of chapter 12. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? Now, wait a minute, Lord. One of your titles is Prince of Peace. And then you said to your disciples, my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives, but my peace I give to you. But here he says, do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Do you think I have come to bring peace? This statement probably catches us off guard a bit. as I've said, we've heard Jesus refer to being referred to as the Prince of Peace. And we speak of the peacefulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here he says, nope. Yes, there is peacefulness and salvation, and that peacefulness reigns over the people of God, and that is true and will be true in the end. In the end. You see, the gospel, as we've said many times, is a two-edged sword. For those who believe the gospel, it prunes. It cuts away those dead parts, causing us to grow into the likeness of Christ. Now, while that life of Christianity, that pruning off is challenging and trying and sometimes painful and not very peaceful sometimes, there is a peacefulness when we understand that the Father disciplines those he loves. And he is pruning you into that perfect shape, that perfect likeness of Jesus Christ. However, for those who have not been repented, they will find the other edge of that sword. Those who have not made things right before God, who do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord, this gospel message is that sword that will lop off those who do not believe, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire. This is what it means by him saying, I did not come to bring peace. Because for those who are not believers, as I pointed out to the children, those who turn away from Christ, they will never understand the peacefulness of Jesus Christ, only his wrathfulness. Do you think I've come to bring peace to those people? No. The day of judgment for those who do not believe will be anything but peaceful. And because of these different eternal outlooks, as Jesus said, can cause division within our families, within our friends, and our neighbors. Again, verse 51. Do you think I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, rather division. Rather than this being Jesus Christ bringing in the brood and bringing in all the church and bringing in all the people into his loving care, it's going to be this pushing out and pushing away. Judgment. He says, no, I tell you, but rather I have brought division. The Christian, the believer, must expect division, divisiveness, adverse reactions to your faith. There will be those who are on the Lord's side and those who are not. Here in this life, we may not know. I can't see your heart. You don't know mine. We see fruit, so I see you. But there are going to be those two sides. And we can't see that in all cases. But in many cases, we can see the evidence of those who stand in opposition to the Lord's work. Look out across our land. We have many who would be referred to as nominal Christians. We have many who would be referred to as that diligent heart sold into Christianity. But then we have those who are objectively denying Christ and stand up and say so. I have no doubt their heart position. With the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, the great division began. Belief in him in many ways will cause one person to turn on another. As he cites here in Scripture, father against mother, son against father, in-laws against in-laws, outlaws against outlaws, however you term it, among our neighbors. Especially in society today, the lines are being drawn so starkly. In our world today, if you believe differently than someone else, then that must mean you hate them. No. It's sad today that we can't have a simple differing of opinions and not hate each other. But there is that division. In the time before the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will be disagreements between those who believe and those who don't. Try this sometime. When you're in a mixed crowd, talk about your faith in God and use the word God. And everything will be okay. For the most part, everything will be okay. But you mention the name Jesus Christ. And watch the lines being drawn. God's okay, because he's otherworldly and he's so big. And yeah, everybody's got a God in something. So yeah, that's fine. But when you mention the person of Jesus Christ, you just drew the line. A line of division. Our Lord, before he returns, there will be division. However, on the day of his return, there's going to be a greater division. If you would like, go with me to Matthew 25. I'm going to read it to you so you can listen. Matthew 25, 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Then go with me to verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." The great day of judgment will bring final and everlasting peace to the followers of Jesus Christ. He says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you." Wonderful blessing. But for those who do not believe, he says to them, "Depart from me." I don't know of any more horrible words you could hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. When he looks at someone, looks at you, looks at me. I know where I am. But he says to a person, "Depart from me." Knowing from that point for the remainder of eternity, you will never know a blessed day in your life, in eternity. So, the question, where will you stand on that day of the great division? Will you be the one on the left with the goats? Or will you be the ones on the right with the sheep? Will you hear those beautiful words? "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." Or will you hear those horrible, sobering words, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels"? Which will you hear? Once again, from Paul, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled, be made right, make things right before it's too late. Again, Jesus said in verse 58 of chapter 12 of Luke, "As you go to your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer puts you in prison." Jesus is the accuser. God is the magistrate / judge. Settle the matter of your salvation before the time comes when Jesus ushers you in front of the Lord God and you don't know him. There is time, but don't delay. Because we do not know. We do not know the time of our Lord's second coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And every person that walked the face of this earth will face that judgment. Will it be a day when we understand the beauty and the wonder of God's amazing grace? Or will it be that heartfelt death in a departure from Christ, never seeing him again?